So, my name is Ilmari Hakkola. I'm the head of audio at Rovio Entertainment. I lead a team of eight people: sound designers, composers. We have an audio programmer as well. I've been there since 2011, so for 6 years now. And my presentation is about how we've built the audio world of Angry Birds. Yes, so the first Angry Birds game was launched in 2009, and since then we've come up with a lot of games, a lot more ambitious games. We've done not just one, but three different animated series. And last summer we released this movie. That was a great thing. Has someone seen this? Yeah! At least four persons. Awesome. And the characters have evolved, in 6 years a lot in different games. And the brand has been twisted and matched for different productions and different audiences. And through this evolution, the sounds, the audio has also gone through an evolution. And this presentation is about that, sounds of the Angry Birds universe. So first, as I'll have to talk about myself, I'll just quickly tell you how I met the birds. I actually started to work at Rovio already back in 2005. I started there as a graphic designer. I always wanted to, or my ambition is in music, but when I was getting, or when I wanted to get in the industry in the beginning of 2000, I just understood that it's really difficult to get there with just, doing music, because whereas in a company, you usually need just one composer, that's usually a friend of the CEO. You still need, 10, 5, 10 graphic artists, so it was just my better chance, getting to the industry. So I started working on graphics and started working at Rovio as a graphic artist in 2005. It was a small company back then, I don't know, 20 people, and there was a lot of, talent needed. At some point, someone noticed that, which is we need some music in our games. Can someone do that? I raised my hand that, yeah, sure, I can start working on the music as well. So in addition to graphics, I started to compose some music for the games, MIDI music for Java games. Terrible job, but, it was music. It was nice. At some point, someone from the marketing department said that, we need some marketing trailers. And at that point, I was studying in Lahti Design Institute in the multimedia line, and I just had gotten into After Effects compositing, and I said that, yeah, I can do that as well. So I finally ended up doing basically marketing trailers and music in Rovio's games. 2007, I got a really nice opportunity to work at Redlinks. I did a half year's gig there and worked on the in-game cutscenes for a Warhammer 40K game. That was a really, really nice thing for me. And during that time, I just started to think about setting up a company of my own. And in the end of 2007, with two of my friends and my sister, we set up a company called Combo. We mainly did work with Finnish advertising agencies, production companies, did some commercials, some company presentations, some music videos, really, really mixed technique stuff. We did frame-by-frame animation and 3D stuff and like clay animation. I worked there doing multiple things, like doing music and also directing commercials and doing motion graphic animations. And one of the companies we worked with was Rovio, because both me and Laura Konttori, who was one of the founders of the company, had been working there from 2005 to 2007. So we knew the guys really well. In 2009, they asked us to do this little short trailer for a little weird game that they did. That was Angry Birds. And it was not a big thing then. The success came just like a couple of years later. So we did that trailer for Rovio, and we did some other trailers, maybe three, four trailers for the updates that they did for Angry Birds. And then in beginning of 2011, the guys started to think about a animated series made or based on Angry Birds. And they started discussing with us about the production because they were looking for a partner who would produce the series for them. And in the end, it happened so that Rovio actually bought our company and we became the internal animation department at Rovio. I started working on the Toon series. But at that point, when I got into Rovio, I noticed that there was no sound design or no audio being done in-house at all. So I thought that this is finally my chance to get into audio, you know, hop away from animation and directing and start to focus on that. And I got the lucky chance to set up the Rovio audio department. Because I understood that, you know, when building a big brand, what the Angry Birds was at that moment, I thought that it's super important that the audio is really thought from a beginning of all the productions that we do. So this was kind of the initial audio vision that we had for the audio department, that audio has to become an integral part of the whole brand. 6 years ago, especially in mobile games, even today in many games, except for some really cool indie games that Jonas and Nilo are working on, sound and music is very often an afterthought. It's something that is brought into a production at a very late stage. The game is usually filled with, you know, template assets done by the team, maybe graphic artists or the coders or the designers. So it's basically the sound design is almost done already. And then the job which is left for the composers and the sound designers is basically just to populate the game with new sounds. And this way, I think the game can still sound really amazing, but it basically just ends up replicating what is happening in the visuals. So the audio just contributes by kind of doubling the effect that is on the screen, but it doesn't provide something on its own. It doesn't tell a story of its own. And I think there's so much more to music. I think when you start building the audio in the very beginning, it can become this symbiotic process with the whole team, where the composers inspire the concept artists, where the concept artists inspire the composers, where the game designer can use the composer's sense of timing or pacing or rhythm to pace the game better, where the sound designers can come up with really, really cool game design ideas, like Jonas was telling us and Nila in their presentations. So the sound can really become not just something which is, you know, boosting the visuals, but the whole game can become like more than just the sum of its parts. So this was what we wanted to do at Rovio as well. Here's a short video kind of emphasizing that idea. So this is it's not in-game footage, it's a trailer video for, I think, Fallout 3 game. See if I have to click to play it.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flaming war.
Kun on tässä HD ja skin. No can do.
In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love, and with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't set the world.
changes.
I could have stopped it before, but I just wanted to hear those words because it's so classic. War. War never changes. Yeah. So in that piece, the music is very much in contrast with the image. I think the music emphasizes the idea because it's this like really nostalgic 50s music that is playing on top of this super like post-apocalyptic world. And it just emphasizes the fact that the world we once knew is long gone. So the music is telling a very different story from the visual, but it tells something about the world itself. And that's what the sound design and music, I think, can do at its best. I just have a clicker or something because I have to walk back to the computer. So, getting back to Angry Birds. So the first thing we did in 2011 when we started the department was that we wanted to see what we had at that point because the original game was already done. And what we had was the original theme, the great theme by Ari Pulkkinen, a couple of adaptations of it done for the Seasons games, and then the original sound design. So we wanted to analyze what we had and then start building the audio world on top of this. So let's take a listen to the original theme. I fully heard it. Whoa. Yeah, and it goes on. So, we listened to that and thought that what's in it. So, it's really fun. It's a bit tragicomic. It's quirky. It's a bit weird in a fun way. It definitely has this folk music vibe to it. Like, it has an element of Finnish humppa music. I think it also has elements from the Eastern European klezmer music. And when I talked to Ari Pulkkinen maybe years later from this, he said that he had been listening to some klezmer music. So we wanted to dig more into this kind of folk music, especially the Eastern European music. And we listened to a bunch of different genres, and then we bumped into Balkan music. And I think the Balkan music was very, whereas the klezmer music is kind of smooth and polished, it has a nice flow. But the Balkan music is really bouncy and aggressive and arrogant and fun. And it had exactly the energy that we wanted to associate with the birds and the pigs. So here's a little reference where we first have some Finnish humppa, then some klezmer music, then some Balkan music, and then some really crazy Balkan music after that. This is some klezmer music. That's super fun, super crazy. There was a really, really good video of that. I just made this audio example for now. But in video, I think it's from some weird movie, Eastern European movie, where there's a village full, like this really muddy village, like little crappy village somewhere in the middle of Siberia or something. And the whole village is gathered together, and their grandmas and small children, and they're just playing these wonky, wonky, funky, weird instruments. And that video and that music kind of reflected the idea that we wanted to have for the music. And it was kind of that, you know, the birds and pigs, they're having fun with this instrument. They don't know how to play them. They can play them the wrong way around and they just make some funny noises. But that was kind of the idea that we wanted to have. We talk about the themes. There are two melodic themes. This is the A part. And then there's the B part. So we decided that we will call the A part the birds theme, and the B part will be the pigs theme. And then we decided that we're going to use those themes in the games and in the animations in a way that, for example, in animation, if there's a scene where we see the birds doing something, we can quote the birds theme. And again, if we see the pigs attacking or have a game about the pigs, then the theme song and the music used in the scenes would be based on the pigs theme. And most of the, for example, the season's theme songs we use, they always have those both parts. About the instrumentation, we took a lot of reference, of course, from the original theme song, but then took some instruments from klezmer music and Balkan music, and from Finnish folk music as well. So we have instruments like... we have accordions, we have flutes, more folky flutes. We have mandolin, like folk instruments, banjo, xylophone. We have Balkan brass, like trumpet, trombone, tuba. And we wanted to share these instruments so that the high-pitched, more agile, light instruments are used on the birds and on the birds' themes. And then this really fat, low-end brass percussion instrument, they will be associated with the pigs. So here are some examples from the instruments. Accordion is a key instrument to the whole world of Angry Birds. That's kind of what defines the whole musical genre. Then flute. More folky flute, not like classical flute. I think this is too smooth, this is better. Everything sounds better, shitty fluted. Mandolin. Way better than just, you know, polished guitar. It's really wild. Banjo. Xylophone. So these were mainly the birds' instruments. And then to the pigs' instruments, this is trumpet. Very traditional Balkan trumpet. That was Marko Markovic, which is like one of the most famous Balkan trumpet players. The trombone. A tuba. That's so piggyish, pig-like. It fits the pig so well. And some crazy wonky Balkan percussion. Yeah, you got the idea. And here's a mashup of different themes that we've used in different game themes, in animations. So the first half is on the birds theme, and the second half is about the pigs themes. So this is the original one. Thank you.
Now listen, piggies and birds.
That is so long, we missed all the pigs pieces, but you will hear those later. But you got the idea. There's a lot of adaptations that you can do from that theme. And about adaptations, like you heard in that previous example, there was not much of that Balkan feel to that. Those were mainly from the seasons, Angry Birds seasons games. So we decided about the Balkan references that, like, we don't always need the music to sound Balkan. We really want to use other musical styles as well, but that Balkan style is kind of the foundation which we build on top. So there are a lot of games, like even recent games, that still have very strong Balkan feel to them, but then there are a lot of games which don't have that. So we decided that if we don't want to use that Balkan reference, then we just keep in with the instrumentation and with the theme and with the overall quirkiness. We have this saying that the music always has to be more fool than cool. It can never be too serious. So that's one of the keys to the Angry Birds music as well. And we also wanted the music not to sound like too originally Balkan. We wanted to get only the energy, the instrumentation, the arrogance, the roughness from that music, but we didn't want to relate it to a certain nationality. So we stayed out from like the scales and the harmonies which are more used in Balkan music. A few words about ownership. So after creating these guidelines, we thought that, you know, it would be smooth sailing from now on. We just started applying these guidelines to everything we do, games and animations, and, you know, everyone will be happy about this very unique audio world that we created. Boy, we were so wrong. Like, some people thought that was completely shit. There's so many people, there was like 800 people working at Rovio. So many different game teams and marketing teams and video teams. And everyone kind of had a different idea about what the music should be. And that's true in very, you know, in many occasions that we always think that we know best, you know, what is best for our production. So I understood that we really didn't have the ownership to the audio inside the company. We were more thought as content creators that, you know, we just do what we are asked to do. But we are not the ones who decide how the audio should be inside the products. But I also understood that in order to create a really consistent brand, what the brand needed to be, a really unique brand, we needed to get that ownership to the team. We needed to be the ones who really define the sound of Angry Birds. So how do you get that ownership? You can't just take it, but you have to build it with trust. You've got to get people to trust you and your team. I mean, the things we did in the beginning, they were not perfect. The guidelines were not perfect. We were still trying out things. And it took us a while to find the right balance between the crazy Balkan feel and something that fit the games real well. So it took a while to earn the trust. And we also noticed that there was not like an audio culture inside the company. People didn't really understand what role audio has in brand building or in games or in animations, and people really didn't understand the importance of that. So we needed to start building audio culture inside this really big company for people to understand the importance. And the ways we did this was that we just started to increase the visibility of our work. So we started to attend a lot of meetings with the games teams and with marketing, and started to express our ideas, and they were like, whoa, like, this is really cool stuff you can do with music and audio, and it's really important. We also did this, there was something called a launch day at Rovio at some point, which meant that there was a lot of people joining the company, like 4 years ago, maybe 10 people started each day. And then there was this introduction day once a month where these newcomers, they went to different departments, and the department showed these people like what they're doing. So they got a really good idea of like what's happening inside the company. So we participated in that, and then these new joiners, they spent like, I don't know, hour and a half one afternoon at the audio department in our studios. And then we told them about our vision, the audio vision. We showed them our studios. We worked them. We made them, you know, do some crazy voices for our animations and for the games. And they were really, really super excited. So from that point on, every people who joined Rovio, they already knew who we were, what we were doing, and what our mission was. So that was really, really good way of doing that. There's something else about this. Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't work that, you know, there's still some people who are going to say no to the stuff you do. Sometimes you got to bend. Sometimes, of course, you have to respect what the, you know, what the game designers or animation directors say. That's your job. But sometimes you just got to fight for your vision as well. So we had some dirty tricks. You know, sometimes I just didn't show the stuff for anyone before it was too late. There was an approval meeting, but I didn't show up. And then I was like, wow, sorry, I didn't know this. And then it was there and it happened. I was like, oh, sorry. But, you know, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to fight for your vision because, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to say no. And, you know, working inside a company, it's different from being, you know, freelancer, outsourced, where you kind of have to do what someone tells you. But we kind of had the responsibility for the audio as well. It wasn't just that we had the freedom to do things, but we also had the responsibility for the audio to be really consistent and great in all the games that we did. I got some product. I'm going to show you some music from some of the games that we've done. You already heard a couple of short snippets from the Seasons games. I think it's been awesome to work on this series because it's one of the longest running series we have. I think we've done like maybe 20, 25 different adaptations of the theme. Here are some of my favorites. Where are you? This is kind of a recent song. It was called, or the season's update was called Marie Hamtoinette, Hamtoinette, which is a nice pig twist from Marie Antoinette. And the idea was that the game team wanted to make this like Vivaldi version of the theme. So here it is. That's the Pigs team. Was a great song by my sister. My big sister was working as a composer at Rovio as well. There was two live players. There was a really great trumpet player and a violin player. I think both were from Radio Symphonic Orchestra. One thing that is super nice in the work that we do or get to do, and one of the things that we wanted to wanted to push for from the start was the use of live instruments. So we use as much as possible live instruments in our productions. Sometimes maybe 5 to 8 like musicians or sometimes big orchestras. Then this is actually the first song that we did after creating the guidelines. It has a little bit more of those Balkan elements. It's from an update called Halloween. It was the Halloween update of 2011. And there's a nice use of the instrumentation from the guidelines and also nice work with the themes. Let's start with the birds theme. There's the accordion. Nice horror waltz. And then my absolute favorite is for Christmas update 2012, I think, we created this tradition of creating a Angry Birds peace song for all Christmases. It's like a gift for the fans, and we always wanted to have a vocalist, someone singing the song, so we created the vocals. And on this one, on the first one, we collaborated with Osmo Ikonen, who's really, really good, like a soul singer from Finland, and we've done a lot of stuff with him and his sister as well from that point on. But in this one, he came to the vocal session, and he had just been performing in the Linnanjuhlat the night before, so he was in really, really bad condition. He was really hungover-ish, and he had this really perfect whiskey bass that fit the song so well.
Birds out there, here's a little story for you. Please remember, it's December. Now listen, piggies and birds, here's the thing. Let's tell a story that's not so gory. Turn your slingshots into swings. This is the season when there is a reason to forget and forgive your foes. Everybody knows it's the friendliest time of the year. I'm recommending a different ending. Perhaps a gentler approach, another style. In this fable, you might be able even to make the mighty eagle smile. All this commotion, the endless explosion, will turn you into turkey and ham. It's a frying pan.
I guess I have to do a smooth fade out. I just saw that I have 10 minutes left. I had still 1 hour of material left. Oh, damn it, I have so many examples. Okay, I'll just hurry up. Okay. Yes, but and it's been really funny doing Christmas songs where you can't really say Christmas because we wanted to, you know, respect all different religions, so you can't just say, you know, Xmas or Christmas, so you have to find funny ways of getting around that because it still feels really Christmassy. Maybe I'll hop on over this and go to Bad Piggies because this was an interesting case in a way that this was the first game where we had the chance to create a theme of our own, because before this we had to do adaptations of Ari Pulkkinen's theme. It's a great theme, but after doing 20 adaptations it gets kind of boring and you want to do something of your own. So this was a chance to do that, and it was a really, really nice little game. And my sister was working on this for a couple of months, and she really whenever she composes, she goes really deep inside the game and she plays it and she thinks how the pigs live and what kind of work they do and how they have fun, etc. She's a magnificent person. And she worked on the song, and then we showed that for the executive producer of the game on many occasions. And every time he was like, I don't know, it's a bit weird. But we just pushed for it, said that no, it's going to be cool. Like, trust, that's going to be really, really good. And we did it, and we finalized it. And then just maybe 2 weeks before the launch of the game, one night the executive producer called me. He was like, Ilmari, the game is going out, but I really hate the theme song. Like, can we still change it? I was like, no, we can't. The game is just going out. Like, we don't have the time. And he was like, oh, I know, but, you know, I really want to change it because, like, it's my game and it's destroying the game. And I was really devastated. Of course, I should have listened to him better from the start, but we just kept pushing for it. This time it didn't work. So what I did was that I had composed the in-game stuff while my sister had been working on the theme. So there was a nice little song in the action mode of the game where you are driving your self-made vehicle. And it had kind of a nice melody. So, you know, I took that, I polished it up a bit. I played that for the executive producer. I said that, you know, could this work? And he was like, yeah, that's really cool. Let's use that. So we went to that. And my sister is still devastated after 6 years for us not using the original song because it's way better than the one I did. I can play you the original one, which never ended up to the game. If I find it. Ah, here it is. Doesn't like that. She even made this like a dance for the kids. They can go around like this, and she had a choreography and everything, and she made us play that in the order department. She was so into that game. But you know, it happens on many occasions. This is not the only case, and you know, like I said, sometimes you have to fight it, and sometimes you win, but sometimes you lose, and sometimes you just have to understand like the bigger picture and how it all fits to that. Yeah, so that about Mad Piggies. I'm not going to even play the one I did. But this one, this was, of course, an amazing game. And it was a really, really rare chance for a composer to get to fuck around with John Williams' original themes, which we got to do. So first we had the stupid idea that we should make this like a big-ass orchestral version out of Angry Birds' theme song. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the music is such an important part of the Star Wars movies, and then we got the chance, the license to use that. So we started to develop this idea of making this crazy Balkan version out of John Williams' scores. So we worked with LucasArts. They were the ones, you know, approving this. But before approving this with them, we had to approve it in-house. And we had two different executive producers working on the game were approving the stuff. So the first demo we did for the game was this. This. Mm-hmm. awesome. I mean, the Imperial March played with recorders. It's crazy. So we had two different meetings with these two different executive producers. And the first one, the guy said that, like, this is shit. This sounds just like in school orchestra playing the thing. And then in the next meeting with the other executive producer, he was like, whoa, this is awesome. This sounds just like a school orchestra playing this. So they actually used the very same term describing the music, which is funny, but, you know, that's how it is. People have very different feelings towards music. So we polished it up a bit. You know, we got rid of the recorders, unfortunately. Added some more bigger orchestra, etc. And then it was approved internally. It was sent to LucasArts, and they said that, yeah, this is super cool. Let's go with this. So this is the final demo. Still had nice Balkan elements to it, still had the Balkan feel to it, so it wasn't too polished, you know, it didn't go too orchestral, so I'm fine with that as well. For the second Star Wars game, we had a chance to use a real live orchestra. That was the first time that we got to use an 80-piece orchestra. So we wanted to, you know, tone down the Balkan elements a bit. So what we did was that we had some elements from the Balkan stuff and mainly from the instruments. So here's a version of a song that you'll recognize. So it was enough just to use the accordion on top of the orchestra, and I think it really well, you know, plays with the orchestra. Some of the songs in the game were a bit more Balkanese, like the... Is it here? No, unfortunately, I don't have it, so we can move on. It was the Duel of the Fates, played with this piggy choir. Maybe I'll skip Epic. Epic was a nice, super nice, I'll just play a short snippet of that. Very heavy use of the Balkan elements. Oh, that was a theme. In the song, in the battle song especially. Definitely quirky and Balkan. Emperor's Go, that was a nice case. It was one of the examples where we worked with an external artist. We wanted to do these artist collaborations at some point. We still do, but don't do them that often anymore. This was done with Pepe Deluxe, which is a Finnish like a cult band. And they have a really, really original, unique style of their own. But we got in with the guys that were super, super nice and talented. James Spectrum. Jari Salo, a great bass player and a great guy sampling all sorts of weird instruments around the world, came to Rovio and we discussed about the guidelines that we had, and they really, really understood them really well. And I did a nice mashup of their music and our music. The Balkan stuff is really much present in that. Do you have an example? Yeah. especially in the end, you can clearly hear the Balkan references. I have to skip over a lot of stuff. One thing I'd like to quickly show you is the Angry Birds Transformers, where with the music, where first, and that was amazing work done with Jonas Turner. He did the sound design for that. Super amazing stuff. With the music, we're first thinking that should we go like with this Michael Bay kind of, you know, epic orchestral Hollywood stuff, but that sounded really, really boring. What is that? Okay. Nice background. Yes, Michael Bay. Super nice. Hollywood. What was I saying? I kind of cut my thought. Yes, so we thought that, you know, we wanted to see who did the original score for the 85 animated movie. And that was done by Vince DiCola. Who knows Vince DiCola? Yes, that's more than in any of the presentations I've done before. Two guys. Yes, Vince DiCola did amazing work for that, but he's also composed the music for Rocky IV, the boxing movie, and the training montage, which is like the best song ever. So we called the guy. He's like 60 years old, have these like bottle-eyed glasses, and he had his producing partner with him. And they were really excited about the idea, and they made this like super kick-ass soundtrack for the game, which is really much, really close to the stuff from the original movie. So here's a snippet from the theme song. Amazing score. It will actually be available again in Spotify and Deezer next Friday. There was a gap of 5 months or so, but now it's back. Funny thing, he said, birds disguised as robots in disguise. Okay. I'm going to jump over this. I'm just going to say that the introduction of the movie, of course, changed the way we think about the music, because the movie was kind of made for an older audience. So, and they wanted, the producers wanted to have a more, you know, traditional Hollywood score to the movie using more orchestra. There's some quirky stuff in that, in the soundtrack as well, but not that much. And we wanted to kind of, because after the movie, all the games that we do on the brand, they're using the movie characters. So we wanted to reflect the movie music in all the new games that we do. We put in a little more Balkan elements to them, but in like overall, it's all going to be a bit more polished, a bit more orchestral from now on. Can I still go on for a while? Because this was that was a big thing, and this mostly touches about the sound design or the character voices. So when we did the Toon series, we knew that we were going to tell a lot more stories with the characters than we had done with the games. The games doesn't really tell any stories. And then when you listen to the original sounds, the character sounds in the game, they sound like this. And there was a bluebird, blackbird, redbird, whitebird. And they all sound kind of the same. And of course, when you do animation with the characters, they all need to be really unique and personal. So we did a huge casting for the series and put a lot of effort to developing the character voices for this animation. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. Here's a funny video of, this was like a pre-production of the Toon series, where the whole animation team, the animators and the graphic artists, the layout people, the directors, they got together. And we had these two Finnish actors, and we made them act out these like imaginary scenes from the series, and just tried to, you know, think about the body language, about how they move, what they sound like, etc. So here's a scene where Matilda, who is the white bird, is planting flowers. She loves to do that. And then there's Terence, this mighty, huge, monstrous bird, and no one ever knows what he's thinking of, and he's heading directly towards the flowers, and Matilda is trying to stop him.
Okay, I'll go to the bar. Hei, vai sä tuhosit vahingossa ne itse?
And so she rolled over the flowers herself, unfortunate. I don't know what we got out from this, but it was a super fun session. And, well, at least we got some ideas of it. So the first direction that we wanted to take was that we wanted to make this radio edit of a one episode, which means that we kind of get like two actors or as many actors as we need for that episode. We put them in a recording booth. And then we give them a script. They have rehearsed it for a week or two. And then they actually play the episode out. They act it out and we record it. And then we use that recording as the character voice track inside the animation. This is how you do it in many cases where the characters talk. So the radio edit looked like this. The sound is horribly bad for some reason. It might be really loud as well. You can cover your ears. Understood was that it doesn't really work. I mean, it sounds terrible. It doesn't make any sense. The characters don't sound any different from each other. So we really couldn't use this. So we had to find another approach. So what we did was that we needed some professional help. So we called this guy. He's Pekka Lehtosaari. He's the guy who's been directing most of the dubbings of Disney movies and big Hollywood animations. So we got him on board, and he knows a lot of actors, he knows how these things are done, so he did a casting round. We invited, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 100 different actors to Rovio, and tried them out, and you know, made them go into character. And from this first casting round, we only got one person. Actually, here's a short video from, this is from the casting round. This is the final scene from the actual animation. Yeah, so you already started to see a lot of variance on different characters. And from this first casting round, we only casted one person, who was the voice of Chuck, that the yellow bird you just saw. He's this guy. He's amazing. He's currently also directing a lot of Disney's movies, or the dubbing of those movies. And then he kind of got into the production and started working with the directors of the series. And I think they worked for half a year and casted, again, like 100 more actors, professionals, and like non-professionals. And slowly we, you know, got together the the final cast for the series. This is the final cast for different characters. It's Matilda. Yeah. So a lot of effort was put into making the characters more personal. And these characters are still used in many of the games. Even the movie games that we do, we use these character voices because it's really expensive to hire the Sean Penn and, you know, the Hollywood actors. And we even developed this bird or pig to English kind of language. So the directors and the actors, you know, it took them a year to really develop, even when they, after they had been selected, it took a year to really get into character and start to kind of come up with these key words and key, like, noises or voices that really made the characters be consistent in all the episodes. So they actually, inside the scripts, they started to put these bird or pig words, and then the actors acted out the scripts. This will be the last thing that I will talk about, and I will do this really, really quickly. So we will get to ask questions and get the vinyls and then go see the game. So audio branding. We really didn't think about this at first and had no experience in this. I mean, we had the idea of creating a really unique and consistent audio world for the whole brand. But then at some point, we started to look into this a bit more, and then through understanding audio's role in branding, it became a really good tool for us. So what we started to do was that nowadays, every time we start a production, we do this audio design document for the production, which is kind of a common thing that you do. And in this document, you kind of define, you know, how that brand or that product and the values and the ideas it has, how those are reflected in the audio. And we try to be really simple with that. You know, we come up with three or four like keywords for the sound. We have references. We kind of try to explain out the idea of what is the red line for the audio that we want to have for this production. And of course, there are like certain sonic elements that can be used for audio branding. For example, a theme song. So we want to have a really memorable theme song for the games that we do. We want to use that theme song inside all the marketing trailers. We want to do an audio logo, which is usually based on that theme song, so it has some melodic snippets out of that theme song. We want to have voiceovers, you know, which is want to say out the name of the game over this voice or audio logo, just to people to memorize that. It's a really, really strong tool. And, well, artist collaborations are a good way of getting in touch with a lot of people. You know, not everyone thinks that Angry Birds is the coolest thing on this planet. So if we work with really, really cool artists that have, you know, millions of followers, we might just make the fans of those artists think that, you know, those...
Angry Motherfucker! Get in the action. Angry Birds action.